Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
In our text tonight, we see a continuation of the Apostle Paul rejoicing over the fact that the church at Philippi had remained a giving church. He was just so thankful that they were a church still involved in the missionary work. And as he wrote to them from the Roman guard in Rome, he was many times handcuffed to a soldier, and yet apparently the church at Philippi had not forgotten him. By the way, how many of you would say, man, if I was in jail for being a preacher, I'd be glad if some church somewhere remembered me? And Paul was just thankful for that. He was thankful that they had remembered him and thankful that they had been faithful in supplying for the work that God was doing in his life. And so tonight I want you to learn with me about the supply of giving that had been provided through the church at Philippi for the work of God there in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. How does that chain of supply really work in the Christian life? And I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the product of their giving. I want you to see that there was a product in mind here. And we read about it in verse 17. He begins in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now, this was not a church that just seasonally did some stuff. But when he was in Thessalonica, now when he's at Rome, they were the go-to church. They were the count on us church. Now, how many of you would like it to be said for the 200 missionaries that we support that if suddenly there was a communist overthrow and a missionary family that we support had to get out of the country right now, or their child became deathly ill and they had to get out of that country right now and get to a hospital, how many of you think it would be a good thing to be said about Lancaster Baptist Church that the missionary would feel like, boy, we're in a pinch, let's call the Lancaster Baptist Church? How many of you would say that'd be a good thing? That to be the go-to church. And Paul is saying, listen, you have been the go-to church. You have been the church that once and again has sent unto my necessity. So the product of their giving, first of all, was that ministry was abounding. And Paul was able to keep on preaching from city to city. They had been faithful to help him. When he started the church 100 miles away at Thessalonica, when he was there at Philippi, they were a church that was involved in this level of support. And their care was flourishing. Look back to verse 10, if you would, and remember the reason he was rejoicing in chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." What's the next word say? Again. You start to get the idea they have that reputation. Their care was a flourishing care. Their care flourished again. I want to say some of you have been members here more than 6 months. Some of you have been members here for 6 years, and some of you for a couple of decades. And your care for missions, your care to make room for more people has flourished again and again and again. And you say, sometimes you might get tired, but wait a minute, let me just remind you, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Apparently, in God's word, there was a record kept about people who were faithful again and again and again. By the way, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, Jesus writing to the churches of Asia Minor, he said to those churches, "I know thy works." If Jesus knew the works of the churches in Turkey, how many of you think he knows the works of this church right here? I know thy works. And so Paul said, listen, you have had an abounding care, an abounding ministry. And I want you to say, see and understand something. You might see a building and say, wow, look what's been done. When I often think about when I see these buildings, I remember people like Brother Mrs. Reed and Brother Mrs. Lane. And I remember people that are now in heaven who were faithful. And many of you who helped to see the gym erected, to see the ball field erected. I think of Brother Bill Lawrence, who went home to be with the Lord just 3 days ago. Brother Bill Lawrence, big tall man with the bow tie. Brother Mark Lawrence's dad, a faithful, godly man. I remember time and again as he helped with the building program. Somebody might see the building. You know what I see in my mind? I see Bill Lawrence. That's what I see. I see people that were faithful again and again and again. I remember when Brother Bill came up, Brother Kurt, and said, hey, I want to buy the basketball team their uniforms. Remember that? And he just loved young men, and he wanted to be a blessing. Not once, not twice, but again and again and again. So I challenge some of you that have been here a long time. Be not weary in well-doing. Listen, my friend, great things are not accomplished with just a little here and a little there, or 5 years here and 5 years there. I want you to know that great things are accomplished by churches that again and again get involved in the work of God. Amen. That's the kind of church that Philippi was. They were abounding in ministry. The product of their giving was an abounding ministry. Notice, secondly, the product of their ministry was an abundant fruit. Now look very carefully at verse 16. It says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, I don't know why Paul said that. I don't know if back in the first century they might have had critics. I don't know if someone might have said, well, yeah, Paul writes these letters because he wants a gift. I don't know if that's why he said that. But he very clearly, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, not because I desire a gift. He said, listen, this isn't about me getting something from you. How many of you believe that God knew Paul's address? Hey, if God could pour manna out of heaven for a million unemployed bricklayers, the Jews wandering around the wilderness, if God knew where they were from day to day and knew how to send the manna at just the right time, if God could feed Elisha at the brook Cherith, if God could feed him with a raven swooping down and dropping in some food for him, how many of you think God could have helped the Apostle Paul if Philippi did not? Absolutely yes. The fact of the matter was, it wasn't that he desired a gift. What did he desire? Look at that verse, if you would, there in verse number 16. Not that I desire, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And I want you to recognize that when we are involved in giving to the missionaries, and when souls are saved there on the foreign field, that is fruit to our account. It is our privilege to eternally invest. It is fruit to our account. We give a tithe and the buses are purchased and gas is placed in those buses and children were saved this morning. That is fruit to our account. There's not a person in here who wants to invest unwisely. Anyone in here that invests and it doesn't always work out, and every one of us have made bad investments, but you want to invest wisely. You'd like to see that dividend increase. You don't want to see it go down. And Paul said, listen, when you invest in the missionary work, when you invest in the work of God, it is fruit that abounds to your account. The word bound means to super abundantly increase. And Paul was delighted, not only that they were helping, but delighted that they were going to have a part in the privilege of it. I got to tell you, having just come back from Central America and having personally with my eyes seeing churches that we have helped to purchase, to paint, to start, in Brother Bordell's case, to literally build and construct a 500-seat auditorium. Now, I mean, I stood back and looked at some of that, and I just said, I am so glad that when these missionaries said, we'll go, that Lancaster Baptist said, we'll help, because you don't maybe see it unless you do visit the mission field, but there are a couple hundred people in one place and nearly 1,000 in another and probably 150 in another that worship God today. And it is fruit to our account because we were willing to have a part of that. You heard tonight the Conleys, a groundskeeper over here at the soccer field, heard the radio broadcast, had some invites from the staff here, came by for a Christmas program, and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what that is? If you give at Lancaster Baptist, it's fruit to your account. It's fruit to your account. What a tremendous blessing to have part. And that's why the scriptures say in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth nor rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves do break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We traveled to Nicaragua with a group, and amongst the group was a dear friend that has a heart for missions, and I actually wasn't planning to go to Nicaragua, and this man retired about a year ago, and some of you heard him teach in one of the classes recently, Brother Ken McCoy, and he came by and he said, I want to talk to you about West Coast Baptist College, I want to talk to you about some things, but he said, I really want to talk with you about Nicaragua. And I thought, why is this guy who just sold a very, very large business back east and who could be sipping lemonade under any palm tree at any fancy hotel in the world, why does he want to talk to me about Nicaragua? And he spent, no exaggeration, 3 days a month or two ago with me every second he could talking to me about Nicaragua. And right after his retirement, he'd gone down to Nicaragua and just to kind of be a blessing to a friend of his who's a missionary and not living in Nicaragua but had been doing some work there, and they went together. And he saw some things that moved him. And I've never talked with Brother Ken about Nicaragua without him crying about Nicaragua. And to be honest, just today, Terry and I were coming back from lunch and in the car, and we began to talk about Nicaragua, and I looked over, and she was weeping and crying. And I'm going to tell you something, that when you support the work of the Lord, when you support a soul-winning work, and you begin to realize, you know what, we're touching people's lives forever. Whether it's in Lancaster or Nicaragua, it's fruit that abounds to your account. I wish I could show you more pictures and things, but I want you to look at just this one young lady. And I'll never forget that look. And I said this morning. This young lady has blonde streaks in her hair, not because she dyes her hair, but because she's suffering from malnutrition. You can see what Ortega has built. You see little homes back there. There's power lines, but no power. There's water line ditches, but no water pipes. And living on just a little handful of rice every day. And I'm going to tell you that when our first missionaries go to Nicaragua, and when we get behind them and we support them, and they reach people like this, I want you to understand something. That little girl right there, and Brother Ken, she would not stop staring at us as we got into the van to leave. Brother Ken said, Brother Chapel, look at those eyes. That is the look of despair. And when we invest, and whether it's this little girl or some bus kid, and excuse me, this little girl is as important to God as your kid. And I love you with all my heart. I'll love any of you. I'll visit you at the hospital. I'll visit you in jail. You can get mad at me. I'll still love you. I wish I couldn't. I wish I could just not sometimes. But I will. It's the heart of the pastor. Let me tell you something. You say, when are we going to stop building? And when are we going to stop sending buses? And when are we going to stop supporting missionaries? By the grace of God, I hope we're doing all of it and more until Jesus comes. And I hope you stay sweet about it, because if you do, it's fruit to your account. And if you don't, I'll still love you. I think I've demonstrated that for 26 years. But I want you to know something. As long as there's children like that who need the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll be a cold day where the boogeyman lives before we stop having missions conferences and running buses and trying to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you just excuse me if after 26 years of it, God didn't just open up a little bit of my vision this past few days, and God didn't just remind me a little bit that there's a whole lot of needs that still are abundant, and it's not that I desire a gift. You mark this down tonight. Look it, I don't get one red cent more. I don't get another perk. I don't get one thing. Hey, I'm telling you right now, it's not easy street going through a stewardship program. Last year, trying to lead the church through it, I could not even hardly lead through it. I sat next to Dr. Gibbs while I preached, couldn't even get through the service. Sometimes the burdens of the ministry are overbearing. Hey, it's not that I desire a gift. I get nothing more than a headache. I get nothing more than perhaps a migraine or lost nights of sleep trying to corral a bunch of Baptists and keep them encouraged and to beg you to do what you ought to do so that you'll hear a good reward in heaven. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It is not that I desire or receive a gift. It is that I desire fruit for your account. The product of giving was the fruit of the ministry that God was giving. You say, what are you after, Pastor Chapel? I'm just after seeing more people getting saved. That's exactly what I'm after. But notice, secondly, the praise for their giving. Verse 18. Paul said, "But I have all and abound." Now, how's that for a guy in jail? How's jail, Paul? Oh, doing great. I've got everything I possibly could ever want. Now, you ever see these shows on television like Locked Up? Why do they show those things, you know? Locked Up at Merced or, you know, Chino or something. Locked Up. They show those things. But sometimes you look at them and you go, man, they got cable television. They got weights to get strong so they can thump you again later. I know some of you might not like this. The only sheriff I really would vote for president is that guy over in Arizona. I'm sorry. Say, well, I think he's not really a good man. I think he's biased against somebody. I don't care. I like the guy. His idea, hey, put him out in the pup tents. Now, I'm only saying that to say this. Paul didn't have cable television. Paul wasn't in a cushy thing at all. And I'm not implying that it is really, but the fact of the matter was he was in jail. He was in a Roman guard situation and they said, hey, how's it going? And he said, well, I have everything I need. I'm full. Why? Look at what it says. I've received of Epaphroditus, probably the pastor from Philippi, the things which were sent from you. Now, the praise that he's giving, first of all, was that the work was accomplished. The work had been accomplished. They had sent faithfully, and now worship was being offered. He said, what you have sent, now watch this, what you have sent, please catch this, is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing unto God, well-pleasing to God. Your mind immediately goes to the Levitical priests who would stand and make sacrifices in the tabernacle, in the temple. And this sacrifice, this gift, this offering that they had sent through Pastor Epaphroditus was sweet. It was a sweet-smelling savor. It was an aroma of a sacrifice to God. And we find that term in the Old Testament. Genesis 8:21 says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." Exodus 29:18, "And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor unto the Lord." If you would, for a moment, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13:16. Hebrews 13:16. And I want you just to see a corollary passage very quickly about how when we give, we're worshiping God. We're offering something up to God that is sweetly acceptable to God. Hebrews 13:16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." Now the word communicate there speaks of giving. And when you communicate with someone, when you give to someone, you're communicating to them. The fact is that when it's your wife's birthday, when you forget to give her a card, you communicate big time. And she communicates for weeks to come. So the word communicate speaks about in their giving. And he says, to do good and to communicate, don't forget to do that, he says. For with such, what's the next word? Say it. Say it again. So when we give as believer priests, and all of us believe in the priesthood of the believer, how many believe that you can pray to God through Jesus Christ? You believe that? We can, okay? How many of you are glad that you don't have to pray to a man who gets your prayer up there for you? Last week in Matagalpa, Nicaragua, we were walking downtown and they were signing some papers with an attorney to buy some property. And I said to Terry, let's go over to this Catholic church. And we walked in, and I won't show the pictures tonight, but it never ceases to amaze me. They had this englassed, cased-in figurine of Jesus with blood everywhere, laying there, and people crawling on their hands and knees to pray to the statue. They had in the corner the confessional booth. And some of you grew up with this, it doesn't shock you, it still shocks me. And people were walking by putting money in the confessional booth, people who make very little money to begin with, putting money in that little box and then sitting there and saying stuff to someone inside. And the idea is they say their sin to him, and he says to God, hey, he's praying to God on their behalf. And when I see that, I just say, thank God I'm saved, and I don't have to confess my sin to a man in a booth. We as Baptists believe in the priesthood of the believer, that we can pray directly to God through the high priest, Jesus Christ. And it's received on the merit of Jesus Christ. And when we give, like the Old Testament priest would give a sacrifice, when we give an offering, God says, that is acceptable to me. And you as a believer priest can offer a sacrifice that is acceptable to me. It's an acceptable offering, it says here. It's something in verse 18 of chapter 4 that is referred to as a sacrifice acceptable. Now, why is that acceptable? And there's only one reason, and that's because we have been saved. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Turn in your Bibles and look at that real quickly. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Many other verses, I'll just show you this one for the sake of time. 2 Corinthians 2:15. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now, if you found that, let's read it together. Ready? Begin. For we are unto God. All right, now look right here. Have any of you ever had a stinking, rotten attitude? If you have, raise your hands. I'll raise mine too. If your husband has, raise. No, never mind. If you have one right now, just come forward. Get it over with. I get around some Christians. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing sweet about them. I mean, it's just like, well, nice to see you too. But Paul said, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. How could anything that we do be pleasing to God? How could our singing, Brother Furso, be pleasing to God? How could our giving be pleasing to God? How could our prayers be pleasing to God? You know the answer to that? There's one reason. There is a filter between me and God. There is a mediator between me and God. There is a redeemer between me and God. And the reason that God can look down at a sourpuss Baptist who gives, who sings, who prays, and God can say, hey, that's sweet to me. It's not because I'm sweet. It's because Jesus is sweet. And when it's done in Jesus' name, I don't care who's singing, who's giving. I don't care who's praying. If it's in the name of Jesus, God says, that's sweet to me. They're doing it again. It is a sweet savor of Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also as a spiritual house, as an holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. I have here in my binder somewhere, maybe in my Bible, something that blesses my heart. I get this every month from the Philippines. Every month from Brother Rick Martin. This is a list, you're welcome to see it after church, of 31 people. And with it comes a letter from Brother Martin, Brother Chapel. We have people in our church who want to be a blessing to you. They can't give you much, but they know the burden somewhat of the ministry. These are the members of our church who this month are setting aside some meals, and they're not going to eat, and they're going to pray, and they're going to fast for you. Excuse me. I'm not saying this for pity, though I'm not too proud to ask for prayer. I wonder if any of you might pray for me this week. Now, I hope you will, but I know that there's 31 this month in Iloilo in the Philippines. And I know this, they don't have much, they don't have cars. I've seen where some of them live. They live in some difficult situations. I know that some of them might make $5 or $10 a day in labor. I know they, from our perspective, can't offer us much, but this is what they do. They get on their knees and they pray, dear God, help Brother Chapel in the building program. Help Brother Chapel in the preaching. Help Mrs. Chapel. Help their health. Keep them strong. Help him as he preaches the word of God. Help the people at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want you to know something, that God doesn't look at their prayer and say, they're not American. They don't have a car. They can't give very much money. God says when those Filipinos pray for your pastor, that it's a sweet-smelling savor, and that they, as believer priests, are doing something sweet for him in their prayers. And so the Bible says in verse number 18 that when the church at Philippi gave, it was a sweet-smelling sacrifice. It was, notice verse 18, well-pleasing to God. Excuse me. You want to do something well-pleasing to God? You say, well, I'd like to encourage you, Pastor. I appreciate that. I'd rather have that than someone trying to discourage me. But I want to challenge you to do something well-pleasing to God. You know what God is pleased with? Hear me. The prayers of his people. He calls it a sweet-smelling savor. The songs of his people. The giving of his people. Some on this earth may trivialize it. Well, they're just giving. By the way, normally those who do that are not giving. Some may trivialize it, but there's a God in heaven who says, that is so sweet to me. What a blessing. And it's through Christ that they're doing it. And it is called well-pleasing to God. C.T. Studd, the great missionary to Africa, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make to him. The product of their giving was that ministry was being facilitated and that fruit was abounding to their account. The praise for their giving, Paul said, hey, there is praise in heaven. This is pleasing to God, what you're doing. But then notice thirdly, the provision for their giving. Someone says, well, Pastor, man, I want to help the missionaries. I want to help our church. And I love that, and I want to please God. I want to worship God in a pleasing way. But I just don't know how I can. I just don't know how I can. And I want you to see how you can. I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 19. I want you to read it with me as we close tonight. Verse 19. By the way, some of you need to bring your Bible to church. And if you have it, you need to look at it. I get so tickled. People say, well, I know the Bible. Do you? Listen, I don't know it well enough yet. I still have to read it to get it. Verse 19, read it now with me. Are we ready? Begin. But my God, wow. But my God, remember, this promise was given to a... Now, here's what I don't understand. Some of you, God will give you a job. God will give you a home. God keeps your kids out of the hospital. For the life of me, I could not understand someone so blessed not giving to the Lord. God has proven himself. Pastor, pray with us about this and this and this. And we pray and pray. And God answers the prayer. And we see it again and again. My God supplied my needs. I'm an unworthy guy. But God is so good. Thank you, God. Pastor, look what God did. Oh, God gave us this great possession. God gave us this home. God gave me this job. God gave me this promotion. What do you mean you want to take an offering? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need more answered prayer in the days ahead. And this verse, my God will supply all your need, was written to a church that was a giving church. Listen, we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven as to why God blessed us, sinners undeserving. But God blesses us for many reasons, and one of the reasons is when we give to him. Give, and it shall be what? Given. the supply of God. So the provision for giving, first of all, was the supply of God. But my God shall supply all of your needs. I thank the Lord that I can testify that that is true. I remember driving that Ryder truck to this city 26 years ago. I remember moving into that apartment on Spearman. I remember the broken pipes in the old building. I remember the lawsuit when they came and said that there's a lawsuit. I remember meeting in that little upstairs room and preaching. I remember then meeting in that downstairs auditorium and how we prayed and how we trusted God and how He provided for our family's faith and how we took our $6,000 of savings and it would have been wiser to kind of store it up. We had no salary and we painted the church and we began to give and fix some things up, and shortly that was gone into the work of the Lord. But we saw God again and again provide again and again. I remember when our church could not afford our own payments, yet we began to support missionaries, and God again and again began to bless the church. I'm going to tell you right now, the most foolish thing for me to do in my personal life, the most foolish thing for our church to do is to get stingy with God. The reason we're sitting here tonight blessed is because we've been a faithful giving church. The supply of God, every good and perfect gift is from above. You don't forget that. I don't know how much more health you'll have or I'll have, but I know every breath I have is a gift from God. Everything, your job, your home, your car, it's a gift from God. We get so self-sufficient sometimes in thinking it's all our own. The supply of God. I think about my God shall supply all of our needs. I think about this building program. Many of you may not understand it because you don't work in the nurseries. Just ask a nursery worker if we need more nursery space. Well, I don't understand, you know. It just seems like pastor wants to build. And no one said that. I haven't heard that one time. But just, I just want you to understand something. We're not just for kicks building something. When we say we're building four new nurseries, we really need about 10 right now. We had nurseries going at 8 o'clock this morning, 10 o'clock this morning, 11 o'clock this morning. We can't get the English crowd out fast enough to get the Spanish crowd in. And we've got some nurseries that need relief. And you know what the Bible says? My God shall supply all of your need. So, well, good night. We're trying to have an offering. A couple weeks ago, we gave $13,000 to two missionaries. You know why? Because we're trying to follow the biblical pattern. And the biblical pattern was they helped the missionary, the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, God's going to supply all of your need. And I believe God's going to provide the need for this project because we keep supporting missionaries. I think about our teenagers and where they're meeting over in the gymnasium area right now. Some are shoved in the corner of a cafeteria. Some are on some bleachers. They're packed and jammed. No one's complaining, but I'm just telling you, it's not the best situation for our teenagers, and we need to provide some space. And these classrooms upstairs are going to be probably the largest kind of a Sunday school space we've ever built just for the teens and the young people of this church. And I said to you a few Sunday nights ago, those of you that were here heard me say, this program represented the fact that God put on my heart to keep Lancaster Baptist Church first and strong. Other things we could have built for the church, school, or for the college, but we're saying, no, we're going to keep the main thing, and keep the local New Testament Baptist Church strong and provide space for the Sunday school. And then, of course, the auditorium space we've mentioned. I'll say it again. This is a church tonight, to the glory of God, without the Bible college students that would be averaging around 4,200 every Sunday morning. Without the Bible college students, this auditorium is about a 2,000 seat auditorium. Friend, the fact of the matter is that we need the space. It's my God shall supply all of your needs. I know the difference between a need and a want. And I believe tonight that we're on praying ground because we support missionaries and because we're asking God to provide for the needs that we have as a local New Testament Baptist church. And I want to say this too. We're still soul winning and we're still going. And tonight I'll introduce you to another 40 or 50 new members coming into the membership of Lancaster Baptist Church. Sometimes a pastor says, let's build, because I'm looking over the horizon
just a little bit. I'm aware of the fact. See, I'm still going soul winning. I'm still talking to new Christians. I still taught the new Christians class this morning. I'm aware of the fact, hey, Lancaster Baptist Church is on the go and still growing. And I want you to understand tonight that we're saying, God, we have some needs. We foresee some more needs. And we're trying to be faithful to missions. And the Bible says to a missionary church, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There was the supply of God. And I want you to see, secondly, there was the storehouse of God. I'm almost done, but you say, I don't have very much. Well, thank God if you're saved then. Because you got connections. Right? We get tickled about connections. You know, most people you get connected with that you're so impressed with, they're not as impressed with you as you are with them. I learned long ago not to get too enamored with somebody that I might meet who seems impressive. You know, there's someone that's never let me down, though. Man, I've been around some people I thought were great Christians and then just discouraged me. I've been around some people I thought were great statesmen and politicians, and then something happens. You're just like, bummer, man. You know what I'm saying? There's one that's never let me down. His name is Jesus. And I want you to see what it says in verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your, what's it say, need. How? According to his what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I encourage you this week to pray. I encourage you to seek God's face. I encourage you to say, God, I'm weak, but you're strong. God, I don't have much, but you own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. God, I want to pray to you as the God who is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the one who provided the ram in the thicket so that Abraham did not have to take the life of his son, Isaac. God, I believe as you provided for Abraham in a miraculous way that you can provide for me. God, I believe that you are El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And God, I pray to you, El Shaddai, as the all-sufficient one, Jehovah Jireh, the great providing God that you are, the God who said in the Bible, God, I pray according to the Bible that you'll provide for my need. Provide the need for my family, God. Provide the need for my health, God. Provide the need for the offering Sunday, God. Provide the need for the church, God. It's not our want. It's not our desire. It's not for us, God. It's for you and for your kingdom and for your glory. And I'm happy to announce tonight, and I'm pleased to preach to you tonight, that our God is a great God, and that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, I know we're in a recession, but my God is not broke. Hey, I understand tonight you may not be happy with the political scene, but get your eye off CNN or Fox or whatever it is, and get your eye to the Word of God tonight, and you'll find in the Word of God, in every economy, my God is a recession-proof God. I intend to believe that to the hilt. I intend to believe that until Jesus comes. I intend to believe that when others aren't believing it anymore. I intend to just keep trusting my Lord. I intend to just keep believing my Lord. I intend to keep on believing God, because I got to tell you something tonight. My sufficiency is not found in the staff or the deacons or the church or my friends or my acquaintances. My sufficiency is not determined by human relationship. It is not determined by human knowledge. It is not determined by some leveraging of some situation. Hey, my sufficiency and yours, if it is properly place, is in the fact that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh no, it deserves so much more than that. I'm telling you, when you believe it, it gets a hold of your heart. It gets real in your heart. When you live by faith, when you pray for God to provide and you see it happen day after day after day, you just become convinced of it. I'm telling you, whatever you need tonight, Christ is your all in all. You say, well, I need help for the offering. Well, good news. He has riches and glory. By the way, he can kick some of it down here for you if you ask for it. Have you ever seen him do that? Try. He has riches and glory. Say, well, I know a guy that, man, he's so wealthy. And I've met lots of wealthy people in my lifetime. But I'm going to tell you something. Wealthy, unsaved people don't get excited about the Lord's work. Oh, yeah. I've asked lots of people to help this ministry. But you know what? You know who I ask the most? And you know who you need to ask the most? Say it with me, verse 19. Ready, begin. But my God, say it with me one more time. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. My friend, Christ is all we need. In Christ, we have a love that can never be fathomed. In Christ, we have a life that can never die. In Christ, we have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Christ, we have a peace that can never be understood. In Christ, we have a rest that can never be disturbed. In Christ, we have a joy that can never be diminished. In Christ, we have a hope that can never be disappointed. In Christ, we have a glory that can never be clouded. In Christ, we have a light that can never be darkened. In Christ, we have a great hope and happiness that can never be interrupted. In Christ, we have a strength that can never be enfeebled. In Christ, we have a purity that can never be defiled. In Christ, we have a beauty that can never be marred. In Christ, we have wisdom that can never be baffled. In Christ, we have resources that can never be exhausted. And I tell you tonight, in my strength and in your strength, hey, we might as well give up like every other church. But in Christ, we have everything we possibly could ever need. He is our all in all. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout ages, world without end. Amen. 7 days from right now, we'll give again. And I fully expect great things from God. Hudson Taylor said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. You excuse me tonight for challenging you to attempt something great for God, but when we do, we can expect great things from God. And I believe that when great things happen in these upcoming days, it's going to be unto him be glory in the church again. Because I already told you tonight, it's not going to happen because of me. It's not going to happen because of you or who we know. It's going to happen because my God shall supply all of your needs, missionary church, giving church, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Spurgeon said, I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. I have a great need for Christ. And I have a great Christ for my need. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have a great need for Christ? Do you have a great Christ for your need? Case settled. I have a great need for Christ. I have a great Christ for my need. Jesus.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.